This morning, you know, that's going to be the great thing. You know, they don't have PowerPoint presentations in the third heaven this morning. Isn't that good to know? When we're there, it's just going to be powered by the power of God and never fails. Praise God. Tell you what. Well, should we go ahead and get started on the deal? I think we're going to try to sync up the webcam as well, too, if we can. We're just about switched over, so if we can't, that's fine too, David, whatever, go for it, or hook up later, whatever. All right, okay, well, we're going to go ahead then, and we're going to start this morning with a series of scriptures. Again, sometimes I do this to just kind of bring out a theme. As you read through some of these scriptures, I think some things will become apparent as far as just something we want to bring out about God, about us, something that we see clearly from the Word of God. I'm not sure if I'm going to have control or not. You might have to do this one manually. I'm not sure. We do? All right. So you did that?
Did I do that or you did it?
You did it. Okay. All right. All right. So you're going to have to be on the helm there, Emily. Cool. All right, well, we're going to start with Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9, and again, just kind of a series of scriptures. Isaiah 53, 9, it says, "In all their affliction, he," capital H, "he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old." Next one, Jeremiah, I think, was previous to that one, or maybe not. Not sure. Can back up, or is that the second one on the slide? Okay, if that is, that's fine. I'll go ahead and just read. Jeremiah 8:21 says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me." Jeremiah 10:18-19 says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will throw out at this time the inhabitants of the land. I will distress them that they may find it so. Woe is me, for my hurt, my wound is severe. But I say, truly, this is an infirmity, and I must bear it." This is the Lord speaking of himself. Ephesians chapter 4, 29-30 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." Okay, and we can just go to the next slide if you want. Emotions. This morning I want to talk about emotions, and I like to talk about emotions from time to time. And just really focus on emotions in a service, because a lot of times while we're preaching faith, walking by faith, not by sight, sometimes we almost kind of backhand emotions, you know, as this encumbrance that gets in our way while we're trying to walk by faith. And that's true. I mean, at times emotions go against the grain of what we believe, and we got to choose the word in the face of contrary emotions, no doubt about it. But that being said, it's also important to take some time from time to time and understand emotions. They are not a bad thing. God has emotions. And as you read through the scripture, I could have put a bunch of scriptures on there. You could have seen the full spectrum of emotions, of happy, joy, sad, mad. We have emotions because we were created in God's image, and God has emotion. Okay? So it's important to understand this morning that emotions that can make us feel really happy, really sad, they can kind of, you know, they run the full spectrum. If you've been alive for any amount of time, you've experienced that full spectrum of emotion. And this morning, I just want to talk about the fact that emotions really are a whole lot like anything else that we would maybe call neutral. You know, finances. Are finances good or bad? It depends on how you use them. Is the internet good or bad? Depends on how you use it. Your time, the television, emotions. Your time, your finances, all those things, they can be managed. Your emotions can be managed. And so this morning, and this is why it's a very important thing, especially when you're kind of in a church, maybe it's a little more charismatic in nature, there can be emotion that is so tied to the Spirit that it's hard to tell the difference or to discern the difference between spirit and emotion. Sometimes they just kind of like blur together, and you can feel a certain way and think that God is doing something. You can come to wrong conclusions because you emotionally feel something. And it's important to understand that from the Word of God, we have the ability to understand how our emotions work and how to manage our emotions. In fact, there's one place in the Scripture that says, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can divide asunder your soul and your spirit. Now, your soul is your psuche, where your emotions are, and your spirit is your pneuma. That's the part of you that got born again. The Word can actually get in between there. So with the Word of God, we can understand about our emotions, how they work, how to manage them, and how to have our emotions work with us instead of against us. Okay? So emotions. The first aspect of emotions that I just want to touch on, next slide please, would just be the just understanding emotions. Okay? We just kind of want to understand how they work a little bit in terms of what we're dealing with when we experience these different ranges of feelings in our lives. The definition, I think it was just a Wikipedia definition. An emotion is a term for mental and physiological state associated with a wide variety of feelings, thoughts, and behavior. Emotions are subjective experiences or experienced from an individual point of view. Emotion is often associated with mood, temperament, personality, disposition. Okay? When we look at the scriptures, take a look at the next slide, please. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. We see the key to a guy or a gal who learned how to really live a victorious life. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. A person who's like, verse 3 here, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When you see that picture, it just conjures up stability, strong, strength. But before a person got to verse 3, they were delighting in the Word. And as they were delighting in the Word, they were navigating through the counsel of the ungodly, the path of sinners, the seat of the scornful. That verse 1 is so rich in the things that tries to draw us down. Now, the reason why this is important in that verse 2, kind of the center verse there, it says he meditates. He delights and he meditates. He delights and he meditates in the Word of God. Now, why is that significant? Because ultimately, this is the way your feelings work. Is your feelings are basically are this emotional part of you that responds to the thoughts that you're thinking in your head. Okay, you have the ability to make yourself feel however you want to feel. You could just stop and begin to think about past hurts, about things that people did to you that were wrong, injustice, and think about it and relive it. And you can make yourself feel bitter all over again. The Bible says, be careful lest the root of bitterness springing up. How does it spring up? By going back into the past and rehashing it and reliving it, and it stirs up those feelings as though it happened yesterday. But you can do that by delighting in and meditating on past hurts. You can make yourself feel afraid. You can look out into your future and think of everything that could go wrong with your health, with your finances, with relationships, worst case scenario in your mind. And you can stir up feelings of fear. What are you doing? You're delighting and meditating in everything and those things. You're focusing. You are mentally, you're feeding your mind, and your emotions follow suit. Same with good things. You could feel thankful. You can go back and just remember the times God delivered you, healed you, spared you, all those different things. Go, wow, thank you, God. You can feel thankful. Your emotions are very, in a sense, they're fickle, but in a sense, they're very premeditated and determined. They are manageable. You can make yourself feel how you want to feel. And that's where it's important when we talk about understanding emotions that we can't look, and we kind of touched on this a week or two ago, you can't look to your emotions as the intelligent, you know, leader of your life. And a lot of times that's what we'll do. We'll kind of think to ourselves, okay, how do I feel? Like I'm probing for a feeling. You know, you're looking at your emotions for guidance. And really, your emotions are just looking back at you. Your emotions are looking back at you and saying, feed me. Think about something. Give me something to respond to. That's how feelings work. So you can feel happy and you can feel sad in a very short period of time, just depending on what you're thinking about. They're just responding to you. They're saying, feed me. Feed me. Well, this guy's feeding him something. He's meditating and he's delighting in the word. Oh, and that's the cool thing. Not only can I make myself feel bitter and feel hurt or feel sad or feel afraid, I can make myself feel thankful. I can make myself feel spiritual. I'm not talking about spiritual pride here. I'm talking about thinking about spiritual things and getting insights and seeing God, and all of a sudden your emotions go, yeah. And it's kind of like what he did over there. It's like, wow, you get excited, and your emotions get excited about spiritual things. So the thing that you got to understand first and foremost about emotions is, I like to put it this way. Emotions don't lead us. Emotions don't guide our lives. Emotions are simply the trailing indicator of where our mind has already been. That's why we're exhorted throughout Scripture in Colossians 3 and Philippians 4. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Our emotions are tied to our thoughts. And where we set our mind has a lot to do with the way we feel. Now, that being said, you've got more inputs into this mind and your thoughts than just what you choose to think about. You have, being in this world, being in one of these bodies makes your mind vulnerable to other inputs. Paul says in Romans 7, he says, the law of sin and death, which is in my members, wars against the law of my mind. Have you realized that living in one of these bodies, this body has some immoral appetites, unhealthy appetites, wrong appetites, and the appetites of your very body, your fallen body, wars against your mind. So you've got to deal with it, and it will stir up feelings and emotions. We live in a world where the medias and all kinds of stuff are bombarding us through the television set, through billboards, internet, whatever, just coming at us with different inputs that can stir up feelings. And if that wasn't enough, we have an enemy, the Bible says, Satan, who goes about like a roaring lion, who's going to roar, even if I'm not thinking about fear. He can just roar thoughts into my mind. So I'm dealing with stuff. But I got to realize that, you know what? This is part of my makeup. This is part of what I'm dealing with. I've got emotions, but my emotions are controlled. It's really as I begin to control my thought life. My emotions will begin to line up. So, you know, I know sometimes people can misunderstand the new birth. People get saved. And what happens? Somebody gets saved, they're excited, they're happy. And people who don't get it will say, yeah, it's going to wear off. Just watch, just wait and see. And emotionally, in a sense, you know, the emotions of something can wear off. But when a person gets saved, they become a new creation on the inside. That doesn't ever wear off. You're brand new. You always will be brand new. That'll never wear off. The emotion of the conversion, you may not have that same ecstatic feeling all 24/7, but the spiritual experience is forever. He who has the Son has life. He doesn't have an emotional experience. He has life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There is something that changes and happens on the inside. So understanding a few things regarding thoughts. Thoughts have the ability to provoke emotion. So a person who's solid here is a person who's delighting and meditating. And when just depending on what you're delighting and meditating in is going to cause that emotional stability in your life. Let me just say this too. This can also be the power behind music, okay? Music has the ability, I'll just put it this way, music has the ability to, we'll say, resonate or amplify words spoken. You could have the exact same pretty melody, I mean, the exact same tune, and the words could be talking about a love between two people, and it could stir up romantic feelings, and you could have the same different words put to the same melody of worshiping God, and it'll stir up worshipful feelings as you do it. Music resonates the power of those words and really fuels emotion. So I'm just going to say this. If you're having some real emotional issues and problems and you're listening to music that's amplifying words, you know, it's important, because not only that, but, I mean, that same music can amplify hatred. It can amplify. There's a lot of artists out there who put their hatred to song, who put their bitterness to song, who put their failure to song, their misery to song. And it's catchy. And it's, you remember it. And your flesh can identify with it. And it can stir up feelings. It's important to not be ignorant of the power of wrong music in your life as it relates to your emotional health. Because that stuff will stir up. It will get your mind going in an area, and your emotions will follow behind, and then you get a beat and a music behind it, it'll just inflame emotions. We're just talking about very scientific laboratory understanding how they work right now, okay? This is just to be aware of some things. But that's the power of godly music. You know, when you begin to lift up Jesus and begin to worship him, and there's hope in music, and there's love in music, and there's forgiveness in music, and there's, boy, that begins to set your mind in the right place and begins to amplify your feelings. It is an amazing thing. Sometimes you'll hear on a radio station, oh, I turn into your radio station, hear the right song at the right time, makes my day and feels, you know, I know some of that when you listen to it, it can sound a little cliche after a while, but I'll tell you, it's true. There is power in listening to good, godly music that's going to feed your spirit and put into you. It's emotionally healthy. It's emotionally strong. It helps get you focused, not just tuned into a natural frequency, but it helps get you tuned inside into the right frequency spiritually to God and to that place where you're like that tree planted. And so it's very important to realize that, you know, that's how they work. Joyce Meyer has a little phrase. She says, think about what you're thinking about. That's a good clue. Because when you begin to feel a certain way, instead of drawing a conclusion, say, oh, I feel this way, therefore I must, just stop and say, what have I been thinking about? What have I been thinking? Oh, I'm just, you know, because your feelings are like performers. They can do it all. They're very talented performers on the inside of you. Have you noticed that? They can do happy. They can do ecstatic. They can do glee. They can do plain Jane bitterness, seething bitterness, rage. The whole gamut, the whole spectrum's there, depending on what you're thinking about. It's an amazing thing. Your mind, and so your feelings need it. When you think about something, oh my goodness, I'm a Christian. I can't, you know, I'm strangling this person. Okay, stop, time out. Okay, nope. And your feelings, that's really a way that feelings can be helpful. Because when you're aware spiritually of how feelings work with your mind, then you can say, okay, no. Father, you said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. So right in the middle of an emotional tirade, you can say, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Nope, 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 I'm wrong. Don't care how I feel, I'm wrong right now. I'm not talking about even when you're in front of people, I'm talking about in the privacy of your own quiet time. You can correct yourself and say, okay, nope, 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 I got to reel it in. It's like you're saying, you're managing, and you can manage these emotions. Like it could be financially. You could be at the end of the month and say, oh my goodness, we don't have enough money to cover. Ooh, we got to reel some things in. I got to save. You know, we got to budget better. We got to, you know, pull back a little bit. Emotionally, it can be the same way too. You can allow your emotions to drift and say, pull back. Nope, things above, praise God, forgiveness, grace. But you can manage those emotions by where you're setting your mind. You don't have to stop and draw deep spiritual conclusions about how bad you are just because you feel a certain way. No, thank God. I'm just going to go back to that place. Go back to the green pastures and still waters. I understand how they work. There is a cause and effect there. When you begin to understand, then praise God. That's a good thing. So that kind of being understood, just some basic understanding of emotions. Oh, I guess I'm... Next slide, please. Expectations. And this is really a big part of what I want to talk about this morning is expectations, as far as sometimes we feel like that if I'm going to really be living for God, then I've got to have certain expectations that I need to feel good all the time. I need to be happy all the time. That's my expectation. Actually, if that's your expectation, it's very close to something else in the world. The basic idea behind hedonistic thought is that pleasure is the only thing that is good for a person. This is often used as a justification for evaluating actions in terms of how much pleasure and how little pain and suffering they produce. In very simple terms, a hedonist strives to maximize net pleasure, pleasure minus pain. You know, there can be a form of spiritual hedonism in the sense that I've just got to be happy all the time. Happy, happy, happy. And I've got to feel good all the time. And if I'm not feeling good, I'm not doing something right. That's not true. That's not true. We're talking about how feelings work, okay? But we're talking big picture, managing your emotions. You don't have to feel happy all the time. You don't. When you look at Jesus' life, let's take a look at the next slide. Should be, I think, Isaiah 53. It says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. All right? So we see that Jesus experienced that. He experienced, you know, a grief. He experienced sorrow. We know in one place where it says Jesus wept. He experienced that range of emotion. It doesn't mean that you're missing it. It doesn't mean that you're off because you experience and feel some bad, negative things. You know, the Bible talks about how, you know, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the grief. He despised the shame. You know, he didn't emotionally enjoy the shame. He despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. There are going to be different feelings of things that we, there are going to be different feelings that we experience as human beings, as Christians. There's happy. Jesus wept, we said that. He was angry at the when he drove out the money changers from the temple. He experienced that. But ultimately, we also know that he was led by the Spirit of God. He did what he saw the Father do, but he experienced these things. All right? And so I guess what I want to say is this. Don't define your faith by your emotions. I will, in my life, as I continue to live out my life, I will feel, this might sound like a negative confession, I will feel like God has abandoned me. I will feel fear. I will feel anger. I will feel all these, I'll feel all these things in my future. I will feel them. Big deal. My goal is not to never feel, experience fear again. It's not to ever experience loneliness again. I am not trying to manage, in the sense, emotions that I'll never experience these negative things in my life. I will. As long as I've got thoughts in my head, I will experience some things. And like I said, it's not just because I'm willfully setting my mind in the wrong place. I've got thoughts coming at me from the flesh, the world, and the devil. Roaring lion. You hear those roars of thoughts. God has left you and abandoned you. You can feel like it when you just listen to it for a little bit and hear it a little bit. The good news is I don't have to stay there, okay? Sometimes people preach the gospel in a certain way that they think you can feel good and happy all the time. And they think this is a freeing message. That's a heavy yoke. To have to be happy all the time. That's one of the heaviest yokes spiritually you'll ever feel. Because you've got this little narrow range, happy, joyful. And if you're ever outside that range, you're feeling condemnation. Why am I feeling this way? I shouldn't feel this way. I don't have a revelation of this. You're continually condemning yourself if you're not in that little happy mode all the time. Now, I want to just explain some stuff by faith. I am a faith man. I believe in faith. I believe in the Word. I believe taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I understand it. I get it. I know right and wrong thinking. I know how it produces different things. But Jesus was a man, tempted in all points as we are. Faith is not a matter of being in this little narrow band of emotions 24/7. Faith is getting back to that place as life throws stuff your way. Will I experience loneliness? Yes, but I'm going to come back to that place of peace in Christ. Will I experience different things? Yes, but I'm going to come back to those green pastures and those still waters. You think that picture of he's like a, you know, the guy who's delighting in the Word day and night. He's like a tree planted Well, I can tell you something about that tree planted. The wind still blows on that tree planted. But he's planted, so he just keeps coming back to the center again. It's kind of, well, NFL now, we're getting the football season, what, bend but don't break. Isn't that kind of the defensive strategy? There's some things that are going to happen emotionally. Yeah, big deal. I'm not going to stop and draw big conclusions. Yeah, emotionally, I just got to get back to the word. No biggie. No big deal. Don't be intimidated by your emotions, is what I'm saying. Don't be afraid that if you drift outside that band of perfect peace. Yeah, but I'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on me. You know, you can have peace on the inside and mentally and emotionally as you're kind of drifting out, kind of wondering. The reason why you have perfect peace is because when you, what does the scripture say in Philippians 4? I'm not sure if I've got that next one here. Do the next one and the one after that one. Okay, yeah, Philippians 4:8. It says, for the rest, brethren, whatever thing's true, worthy of reverence, honorable. Actually, keep it right there. Actually, go up to the previous slide. Sorry about that. The key in Romans 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, I'm endeavoring to keep my spirit and my heart and my mind on Christ, but I am getting blown by it could be the flesh, the world, and the devil. When I say the flesh, I'm talking about my flesh, the world, the devil, and I'm getting blown over into an area here. What am I going to do? I don't want to stay here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Then the peace that passes understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So like that tree that's planted, even with the winds of the flesh, the world, and the devil blowing on it, how do you keep it centered? You let your request be made known unto God. But just because I'm blown over here, I don't stop and panic. Say, nope. Yeah, I don't know exactly how that need's going to be met or how that relationship's going to turn out, but I know what I can do. I can let my request be made known unto God with thanksgiving and pray about it and get it over on him. And he's going to keep me like that tree plant. He's going to keep me in the center, okay? So we're talking about emotions. You've got to have the right expectation for emotion. It can't be this little narrow band of perfection. And if you drift out the side of the sense of perfect peace, that means that you miss God. No, you didn't miss God. It just means you're living in one of these earth bodies, and Jesus, who is tempted in every point as we are, I mean, experienced that full gamut of emotions. And you know, but what did Jesus do? I mean, he was in Gethsemane, about to go to the cross, sweating as it were great drops of blood, and he goes to the Father, "Oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Did that three times. It didn't mean that he didn't feel the pull. What, Jesus, didn't you have perfect peace? Well, what did he do? He kept bringing it back to the Father. And when he got done, when he came from that place, the Bible says, and they were looking for him, and they said, "We're looking for Jesus." He says, "I am he." And they fell back. He had strength. He went forward and did the perfect will. Even when Peter went to defend him, Jesus said, "Put your sword away." He said, "I could call 12 legions of angels right now to deliver me." He went through it, strengthened. It didn't mean that he emotionally didn't feel stuff. I mean, when he got whipped, that hurt, you know? When he got insulted, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. He experienced things as a real human being. He really hurt. He really felt things, acquainted with griefs and sorrows. He knows what it's like. But praise God, what we can do, what is it? He just said, you know, "You'd have no power over me unless it hadn't been given to you from above." You can see his heart on the inside. He was focused on the Father, and he stayed like that tree planted all the way to the cross. He never lost control. He like went to sheep to the slaughter. Didn't speak. You know, he was just in control. Even when he laid down his life, you could just see that. The Bible says in Peter, he committed his cause to him that judges righteously. So we're talking about expectations. Colossians 3:15. I'm sorry. Go back. There it is. "And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always." This really needs to be really the focus. When we talk about emotion, it's not happy, it's not glee, it's peace. That's the barometer. Do I have peace or don't I have peace? If I don't have peace, I have anxiety. And I need to let my request be made known unto God and cast my cares over upon him. My emotions will follow. My emotions will follow. This is the power of confession. Sometimes when you might have heard of confession or the what is confession is when you're confessing the word of God. In other words, I might be over here and I might be afraid of something that's going to happen, but that's where I can say, Father, I commit this situation into your hands. Thank God, I just trust you with it. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I prayed the prayer, and then while the winds are blowing, I'm declaring, praise God, you haven't given me a spirit of fear, God, but you've given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I am delighting in, I am meditating on the fact that I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm meditating in and delighting in the fact that I don't have a spirit of fear. Praise God. I'm meditating in it. I'm delighting in it. That's the continual flow that confession would be linked to. When we say confessing the Word of God, sometimes you get those little books, those little promise books. Look up your situation. Find those promises. Meditate in those promises. That's what's going to cause you to go to that upright position in Him. But emotionally, I'm just saying the promises, as you begin to meditate on them, emotionally you're going to follow suit. And emotionally you'll experience the health and the strength. And the anxiety goes as you begin to declare the Word of God. It is an amazing thing how it just works that way. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your feelings. Don't be afraid of the extreme swings at times that you can take or experience. Ultimately, you know, a person doesn't start out as a tree planted. They start out as a sapling planted. And then they grow up to a little bigger tree and a little bigger tree and a little bigger tree. In other words, be gracious to yourself and give yourself a chance to grow up spiritually. You're growing in the right direction, okay? I mean, you are growing. You are getting there. It's hard to see. You know, a lot of times we'll have those lines for our kids so that they can see the growth and different things like that. And that's kind of the way it is spiritually sometimes. You can feel like, am I growing? Am I developing? Yeah, you are. As you keep coming back to the Word, you keep coming back to those basic things, your roots are going to go deeper. And those feelings that used to fool you before, they're not going to fool you as much. You're not going to be intimidated by your feelings. They're real. They feel strong. But at the same time, they're just feelings. They're where your mind has been. And you can change those thoughts. And that's the power of the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times I've been able to just declare God's Word of grace, forgiveness. Sometimes it's just in self-control. Praise God, where it says, you know, this is the will of God, your sanctification. You know that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God. You can say those words and you hide them in your heart and you begin to declare them. It's like, yeah, the strength to do what the Word says comes from the Word itself. The Word is powerful. It is powerful. Not just to divide us under your soul and your spirit, but to give you the power to do what it says to do. When you begin to meditate on it, think about it. There is power in His words. Oh, praise God, in every area of your life. And so the promises of God are linked to it. And the reason why we emphasize the promises of God is when you're meditating on them, your emotions will follow suit. They will come in behind. And you'll experience the feelings of relief and freedom that come from the Word of God. And then finally, let's take a look at control. So we talked about understanding kind of how emotions work. You know, it's kind of there's kind of a cause and effect. Emotions are the effect of what you set your mind on, ultimately. Life comes your way. Circumstances come your way. You can't help but set your mind on things and the reality that hits you in the face. Sometimes it just comes like a punch in the face, circumstances and situations, and your emotions are right there to respond. But you can also ultimately control those emotions, okay? And before we talked about how they work, or before we talked about control, we said, first of all, we need to have some right expectations. In other words, my goal right here is not to be happy 24/7. Is not to have this giddy little happy feeling 24/7. I want to have peace all the time. I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. I want the spiritual power of God's peace to be there, to keep me as a tree planted. And if I don't have peace, I'm going to be honest and I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it clear. Now, we've been saying you can set your mind. You can control things. How do you do that? Can we get the next slide, Emily? 2 Corinthians 10 puts it this way. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, when you think about this, you talk about, well, this looks like mental stability. Again, it's linked. When you successfully do this, when you cast down arguments, high things, and exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ, it will create that emotional stability in you. You know, I've shared, you know, where I've, in the past, where I've been running on the, I was running on the treadmill one time, and I'm just running, you know, just running on the treadmill, and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, you just, you know, and you've done this before, I've done this before, but you start having an argument in your mind with somebody. They're not there, but you're just arguing with them. All right, and maybe it's a familiar argument. I don't know. This anyway, I was just kind of running, and you know, and all of a sudden, I was probably about a good, you know, five levels deep into this argument, and all of a sudden, I just had this thought come to my mind. Just, and I know it was God, the Spirit of God, just saying, "Just praise me." You know, and I just thought, you know how that is, and somebody comes along and says, "Well, just praise the Lord." You just want to go, "Oh, get out of here! You don't understand," you know. When you're emotionally worked up, you know, you want somebody emotionally there with you where you're at to understand and get you and all that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, my mind was set in a certain area and it was stirring up emotionally feelings of the bitterness and the strife and the anger and the hatred and all those different things. And God didn't even come with some little clever, witty thing. You know, he just said, "Just praise me." And my first response was this, because I knew it was God and I knew it was right, because the scripture came to my mind, "I'll bless the Lord at all times, his praise will continually be in my mouth, you know, and rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, so I knew theologically it was checkmate. It was a word from God. And I couldn't get out of the fact that it was a word from God. All right? This is a preacher's arguing with God here. And all of a sudden, the first thing that kind of came to my mind was, "Okay, Lord, I'll do that, but first let me work through this. Then I'll do that." Because I felt like I was winning this argument. I had it on the ropes, you know. You know how that is. And then all of a sudden, God was just like, "No," he said, "just praise me." And I said, "I get it. I just want to bring, you know, just bring closure to this." And that's when the Lord just spoke these words to my heart that have guided my life ever since. He just said, "You don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me." And I never really thought about it that much, but my own sense of moral obligation to have to bring closure to Satan's confusion. Do you understand? He's cheap-shotting you all day long. He's cheap-shotting you with old hurts, with things in the past, with maybe, you know, the passions of your own body, things like that. He's cheap. He's hitting you and running. And you feel like you got to get all that worked out before you can praise God. Oh, no. I don't have to get anything worked out. I don't have to bring closure to anything before I can praise God. Remember, just on the it. This is where it's faith. You look away from the passion of your feeling at the moment, and you just begin. I just began to lift up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You know, one of the first things that I began to thank God for. When you begin to look up and thank God for, I'll tell you, one of the things that'll pop to your mind is, "Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord." There's something about praising and worshiping God that causes you to have to remember that he paid that ultimate sacrifice for your sin. And that's where Jesus tells the story of the parable of the unforgiving servant. You know, the master forgave this guy of all of his sins, which is like us, all of our sins. Then he goes and he's got his arms around that guy for the $20. Pay me what you owe. Pay me what you owe. After he's been forgiven all this great debt. And that's the way we are. That's the way I was in the treadmill. Pay me what you owe. And just realizing, no, just praise me. It realizes that, wow, thank you. And there's when you get this back in you, you get spiritually minded, and there's a gratitude of the grace and the forgiveness of God, that's what will cause the hands to come off from around the neck and say, "Oh, yeah. And I, Father, I forgive that $20, even as you have forgiven me my $10 million debt." But you have to, by faith, just begin to set your mind there. Don't draw big emotional conclusions or big spiritual conclusions about your emotions. We all got them. You know, you might think, "Oh, but if people knew how I feel," yeah, we all know how you feel. I can tell you one thing that you're feeling. It's common to man. It's common to man. You suffer no temptation except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able, But Will, with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape. And I'm telling you what, that way of escape, I'll tell you, is praising God, worshiping God, blessing the Lord at all times. That is the greatest way of escape there is. And that's what the scripture says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Do I got to work through my problem first? No. I'm going to praise God. And he'll give me revelation about my problem, if it even is a problem. You know, sometimes we create our own problems. Satan is the master of deception. He's the master of making things look a certain way when they really aren't. And we've got to be humble enough to say, wow, I've been duped. No, I've connected the dots. You got it. No, there's a few dots you're missing. He's a master of deception. It takes humility to admit that you made a mistake, misjudged somebody, misjudged a circumstance. That's why Jesus said, don't judge according to appearances, judge righteous judgments. Satan is very appearance-oriented in his judging. God is righteousness. See, God looks at the heart. It takes the Spirit of God to have a righteous judgment. It means you got to probably pray for the person a little bit. Get some insight. Do good. Get the mind of the Spirit in the matter. Not just an appearance judgment. You can manipulate appearances. Make things look different ways. No. Sometimes I've been delivered from things that were just my own imagination. I thought it was so hurt. No, but it was just me. Just my misperception. Yeah. Well, that's why you can't trust your feelings, right? You can't, but we can control them. And that's where we're setting our mind. We're casting down those arguments, taking every high thing against it, bring it into the obedience of Christ. And a lot of times the stuff that you're casting down, bringing into captivity stuff, it doesn't mean that you're trying to bring a theological closure to everything. It just means that you realize this isn't God. This strife, this hatred, this anger, this passion, lust. You know, you go down the works of the flesh, from adultery all the way down to strife and outbursts of wrath to revelings and murder and all that stuff. You can see it right there, Galatians chapter 5. If you're experiencing all that emotionally, you can know one thing. Oh, that's flesh. No matter how you got to justify it. And humility says, Nope, I'm not going there. No. And I'm going to begin to set my mind on things above. See, you got to understand, too, when it comes to feelings, and let me just say this in terms of feeling good, Satan is also the master at making you feel good. He is a master at trying to make you feel good. He will use natural things. He'll use pride. He'll use all the passions of the flesh to make you feel good. And this is where the world misses it. The world believes if I feel good, then this must be right. The old expression, if it feels good, do it. It's the real me. It's the true me. So I just yield to anything that makes me feel good. And good feelings equals truth. Not true. You can nurse a grudge or you can wean a grudge. Which one feels better to your flesh? When you wean a grudge, that's when you're going back to the cross and say, God, even as you've forgiven me. I'm going to go against these feelings, and I'm going to receive healing, wholeness in my relationships, in my feelings. God can restore your soul, heal your emotions. He does that from the green pastures, but the first thing we've got to do is we've got to lie down in those green pastures. We've got to sit at his feet, think his thoughts, praise God, and set our mind on things above. So I think the final... Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, when you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort or fall into any various temptations. So you're going into things, counting it joy. And that's where you're going back to the Word of God. What does it look like when I counter joy? It's not a plastic face that I put on to look spiritual to people so you don't think I'm going through anything. That's when I'm taking the Word of God and I'm saying, thank God you haven't given me, Father, a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I thank God I have power. I have love. I have a sound mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not a vain thing. It's not an empty thing. It's not a mind over matter thing. It's the law, the spirit of life. It's the Word of God overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of God. That's the joy. There is a joy. There's a joy that is linked to these words. You see, these words have authority. These words have authority in the Spirit to get things done. Praise God. And that word count, it means this. It literally means to command. And joy is a calm delight. So you're commanding it. Praise God. Lord, I thank you. I've got peace in the middle of this storm in the name of Jesus. You're saying, peace, be still, and declaring what the Word of God says in the face of it. The next slide, I think. being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can go on to the next one, Emily, I think, to just close it. So I just wanted to close this morning with the message. Yeah, just to right there. You know, just understand, emotions are not a bad thing, okay? You got them. But they're like anything else, you got to manage them, all right? You got to manage your money, you got to manage your time, you got to manage your emotions. Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean it's the Spirit of God. You judge your feelings by the Scripture, by the Word of God. And to realize that, yeah, your emotions can run the full spectrum, they do run the full spectrum, but they're really following your lead. Those emotions are nothing more than trailing indicators of where your mind has been. If your emotions are down, they need to come up. You need to set your mind on things above. That being said, what is my emotional expectation? To have just this gooey goosebump 24/7? No, I'm not. Like I said, I'm gonna go through life. I'm gonna experience things that are gonna make me feel a certain way. Big deal. It doesn't change the fact that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. I'm born again. It doesn't change the fact that I'm that tree planted and that I can look to the Word of God. I can bless the Lord at all times, in the middle of the test, in the middle of the trial that may have me bending this way, make me not feeling really comfortable. But thank God I can begin to praise and worship back to center again. Spirituality is never being blown. Spirituality is just coming back to the center when you are blown. It's counting it all joy when you do fall into the trials and testings, not having any. Jesus said, in this life you will have them. So I'm just saying this, don't be intimidated by your emotions. Don't be intimidated by your anger, your hatred, your strife, your lust, your all those different things that you feel. That's part of the human condition, and it's common to man. But thank God you can come center with the Word of God, like that guy who delights in the law day and night. He stays center. He navigates from the ungodly counsel, the path of the sinner, and the seat of the scornful, and he stays upright. Praise God. How do you do that? By controlling your thoughts. You don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise the Lord. It's always right. It's always the good next step. Saying, Lord, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. I let this request be made known unto you. I don't know what to do next, but I know you do. And so, Lord, show me, lead me, guide me. And whatever you want me to do, I'm here. I will do it, Lord. You are Lord. And so I love you. I commit it to you. Place it in your hands. Praise God. And these are things that we begin to do to get control of our emotions. But also, so you really kind of have to see your emotions as a little bit of an indicator, you know, of where your thoughts have been. And it doesn't mean that because your emotions are way over here that you've been meditating over there. No, you just had some inputs and say, oh, I need to resist the devil, you know. I need to cast down an imagination. I need to do some different things. But don't let your emotions define you. Just realize that they're there. They're trailing indicators of where your mind has been. And as a free will agent, you always have the ability to set your mind where you want to and keep control of your emotions. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that as we go forward from this place, that we realize that you love us, that you're with us, you're for us. Jesus, you experienced this full gamut, the full spectrum of emotion. And you always did what the Father told you to do. You experienced happiness, sadness, anger. You experienced it all. And yet, you always were in control. Nothing ever broke you. You could bend and not break. You experienced the human condition, and you were able to stay that tree planted. Father, I just pray for each of us this morning that just emotionally we'll understand that we are emotional creatures because you are. You created us that way. To not be afraid of our emotions, but to realize that we can control these emotions based on where we set our mind. And Father, to have healthy expectations. To not wonder or worry or be afraid when we experience an adverse emotion, but to delight in your word, to count it joy, to praise you. No closure to Satan's confusion. We just praise you. We just look to you. As we do, we're like a tree planted. Father, we love you. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus for healing for emotions in this place this morning. I thank you, Lord, that there is an anointing that you have that can heal the brokenhearted. You can do stuff, Lord. You can do healings. Yeah, we can maintain. We have spiritual health. We can set our mind in the right place. But there's also that supernatural miracle of healing. Healing of a broken heart. I just pray, Lord, for just the spirit of healing and anointing right now. That as people are just realizing you love them, you're for them. It's about worshiping and being thankful for the $1 million debt. I just pray, Father, that there would just be healing. That there would be supernatural divine perspectives. That thing that seems so big would shrink down to its true size in you, in your eyes. supernatural revelation that would bring healing to hearts. Ah, that we don't take our eye off the ball, which is this amazing, wonderful life that you have for us. Good works you've ordained us to walk in. No condemnation when our feelings are out of line, but just a reminder to put our minds on things above. Ah, and our emotions will follow suit and to get back in line again. Praise God. So good. So good, Lord, the way you've designed this life. Praise God that you are always there for us. Never leave us. Never forsake us. No matter how we feel, that's just the truth. And as we delight in that truth again, then the feeling comes back that, yeah, you are with us. But I don't have to maintain the feeling. I just look to your word and the feeling comes. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for my feelings. Help me to manage them, to understand them, not be intimidated by them. No matter what I'm feeling, it's common to man. And it's always right to praise you. I don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion. I can praise you, and you bring closure to the confusion with perfect peace. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If that's the first time you ever